Call this meeting to order and get started. Welcome to all of you, and thank you for being here in person, online, or anyone who may watch this in the future. We welcome you to the City of South Jordan City Council meeting for this Tuesday, November 19th, 2024. My name is Dawn Ramsey, and I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan. And on behalf of this outstanding City Council seated next to me and our administrative staff, we welcome you and we thank you for being here. We are going to open our meeting tonight with an invocation by Councilmember Tamara Zander.
Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we are grateful this night for the opportunity to gather peacefully. We're so grateful for the form of government that allows us to come together to collaborate and listen and make decisions that will be in the best interest of our city. We're grateful to be a part of this great nation and this great state of Utah and the City of South Jordan. We're grateful for the residents. We're grateful for our staff and elected officials that work hard for the betterment of others. We pray for the safety of our personnel that are out helping our city to be a safe place. We pray for the safety and protection of this great land that we live in. And we thank thee again for the form of government that we have that allows us to have peaceful elections and transitioning as we move forward as a country. Bless us with a spirit of peace in this chamber that we can listen and learn and make wise decisions. We ask thee to watch over and protect us and bless those within our city who may be struggling at this time. We thank thee for these many blessings and the opportunity to serve. We say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right, we are now going to ask our police chief, Mr. Jeff Carr, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Will the audience please rise?
Please repeat the Pledge of Allegiance with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate that. Okay, before we proceed too far, I just want to make sure that everyone is aware that yesterday, our agenda for tonight's meeting was amended. It was amended in plenty of time and noticed in plenty of time and put out there. But there was an agenda item on the agenda for tonight that was discussing the altitude development land use that the developer pulled from the agenda. So we're not talking about that at all tonight. So if anybody's here for that, just know we're not talking about that at all tonight. It's not before us. I just want to make sure you knew that in case you planned to be here all night and we're here for that. So just making sure everybody knows about the amended agenda. All right, along with that, we do have an amendment, potentially an amendment. Are we amending the agenda with this? If so, I'll ask if there is a motion to amend the agenda.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we amend the agenda to add resolution 2024-46, which is a resolution of the City Council of the City of South Jordan providing notice of a pending land use ordinance to amend the flag law overlay zone of the South Jordan Municipal Code.
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion to amend the agenda to add an item. Any discussion on that? Okay. I don't have to go through the rest of it until we actually present it, right? Okay, all in favor of amending the agenda to add this item, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, we will add resolution R2024-46 to the agenda. I'm gonna ask, it's an action item. We don't have any specific action items outside of a public hearing. Is it best if it comes in after H? Okay. Can it be an H2? It's not a public hearing, so it's not an H2. We're going to make it an item I and amend it to item J for the staff reports.
Correct.
Okay. We will create a new item I, which is resolution R2024-46, and amend item I to be item J. All right. Thank you. We'll now move forward. We have the minutes from our October 15, 2024 council study meeting and city council meeting that have been sent out in draft form for review. Are there any questions, comments, or amendments to be made to those draft minutes? And if not, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve the minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. McGuire. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, those minutes from October 15th are approved. All right, item E, we have mayor and council reports. This is when we like to take just a couple of minutes to quickly report back on some of the things that we've been working on. We did not have a meeting 2 weeks ago because we don't ever have a council meeting on election day. And so it's been a month. So we'll make it brief, we'll make it concise, but we just want to share a little bit about what we've been working on in our roles with the city over the last couple of weeks. Is there anyone that would like to go first?
Mayor, I can start if you'd
Thank
like.
Thank you.
So I attended quite a few city activities. We had the pumpkin promenade, which had a phenomenal turnout. It was a warmer year, so that might have brought more people out to enjoy it, but that was a great event. So thank you to Janelle and her team for putting that together. And there was the South Jordan Arts Council sponsored play of Blythe Spirit, which was great. And we had the Veterans Day breakfast, which I always love going to and being able to bring my son along. And one of the things that connected for me this year with that breakfast is my son's really has a passion for history. And here was an opportunity for him to interact with men and women that actually helped create the history that he reads about. And just that connection, and for him to kind of see the kind of the humane side of war and those who defend and protect our country. And so I just really appreciated that opportunity. And then, of course, a big thank you to all those who have served to protect the freedoms of this country. And then another wonderful event that all of us were able to attend was the Titan Awards. And that's held by the South Valley Chamber and to recognize exceptional business leaders. And in the past, I hadn't attended, and I kind of regret that now. I always thought it was more about going and just hearing these business leaders really recognize just about the success of their business, but it's really about their service and the way in which they give back to the community. And so that was a great event and left feeling, you know, how can I, you know, give more and to provide better service to those I interact with. And then had a LPC meeting, which is Legislature Policy Committee meeting of the Utah League of Cities and Towns, which many of us up here were able to attend that meeting. And it will be interesting to see legislation that comes forth regarding housing and possibly property taxes as well. Those were the two subject matters that were spoken about that really stood out to me. And just encourage everyone here to try and stay in tune with what the legislature is doing and reach out to your representatives throughout the session and let them know how you feel about housing and where that control should be and what it should look like, the density, infill, just everything that makes up a community. And let your representatives know what matters to you about that. And that's everything there.
Thank you, Ms. McGuire. Mrs. Johnson, would you like to go?
Yes, as you know, I serve on the Youth Council, and I would just like to recognize that there are several students here from the Youth Council this evening, and just like to welcome them and hope that they can learn a lot from the experience of being here. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Harris.
Yep. So, I also attended many of the events that many of the other members of the council attended, including the South Valley Chamber Titan Awards, great event. The Pumpkin Promenade, you know, it's fun when the city does these activities, and it seems like we got just a great number of people that attended there. I really like that we do it at Mulligan's. I think seems like we get more people that show up because it's just they're driving by, they can see it, and so that's a great location. It's always fun to see all the residents who chose to carve pumpkins and showcase them. That's a lot of fun for the community. I attended the Veterans Day breakfast. And the mayor did a good job speaking there, along with others as well. It was
you
wonderful.
Did a good job conducting.
Yeah, well done. Yeah. It was a great breakfast. It's actually probably my favorite breakfast of the year. Just spending that time with the veterans who've served our country. So that's great. At that same time, we had a ruck. So my wife went and did the ruck while I did the Veterans Day breakfast, and then she came back and joined. So I know Tamara was at the ruck too. So it's good. And then also. Attended the turkey trot with one of our Sojo race series. And again, that was well done. And what we heard earlier it was sold out. So we have a lot of people that are wanting to attend these things. So they're really well done. Jordan Basin had a sewer board meeting, attended that. Everything's going well with the sewer board. And I just spent a lot of time just meeting and talking with various residents on, you know, upcoming things that are going on inside and near my district as well. So that's what I've been up to.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Yes, it's been a month of great activities. I think I'll start with saying I had the opportunity on November 8th to go to Station 62 here in our city, where they have CPR and AED certification training. I teach a water fitness class at the county pool, and they require me to be CPR certified. So I was able to go attend with our fire station 62, and there was about 10 to 15 of us people in the city that were there. Fantastic training. Anyone that wants to be CPR or AED certified, it was $20. Best $20 I've spent in a long time. Very, very informative. I think one of the best things I took away from that is compressions are king. Keep somebody's heart pumping till the paramedics can arrive. And the second thing was AEDs are not over, like they don't scare me anymore. They pulled out AEDs and we practiced with AEDs. And one thing I learned is that when you're in the mall or you're at a store, look for where the AEDs are. So if someone needs one, you can find them and get them, and they walk you through everything. Anyway, my fear of an AED and how to use it is gone, and I am grateful. Your fire station personnel did an exceptional job. And I'd invite anyone in the room who's not CPR certified or familiar with that, go and spend the $20 and get certified. It was exceptionally done. Thank you, Chief. Additionally, I participated in the Sojo race. There was the turkey race on the 16th that had, like you said, about 400 participants. What a blast. People dress up. It's so much fun. And then on the 9th was the Sojo ruck race. That was kind of a nod to veterans and military. So many people showed up with flags as they rucked. Rucking is carrying a pack with some weight. And on that particular race, we were required to have a pack with some weight, and I actually adhered to that, so I was really proud of myself. Don't ask me how much weight, but I got the bare minimum in my backpack. But again, our Sojo team does such a great job, and I love, most of all, just the variety of people that show up and have fun moving and exercising in our city. Love it. I was also invited by the Daybreak Elementary 6th grade teachers to come and speak to all the Daybreak Elementary 6th graders, about 90 of them. I got to speak to them on November 4th, which was the Monday before Election Day. And we did that by design. I went in and spoke to the 6th graders about local government, why local government matters, and helping them understand the difference between local, state, and federal government. Had a great discussion with the 6th graders. I appreciated that. Loved being a part of the Election Day on the 5th. The other thing that I got to participate last week on Thursday, I was invited by Larry H. Miller people to be on the urban land use panel. I got to sit on a panel with Stephen James, who's the visionary director at Larry H. Miller, and Ted Knowlton, who's assistant director at WFRC. There was a room of about 50 to 60 people asking questions about land use, and I got to have a seat on the panel because I've lived in the largest master pond community in our city for 20 years and for city council experience. But I was bookended by these two brilliant men. It was a great fun discussion, fun to be a part of it, and my encouragement was to all the people in the room, you know, let's all be forward-thinking in our land use and planning. Great experiences, and again, thanks to the staff who made so many of these experiences really valuable, and thanks to the staff who gave me some more additional information before I sat on that panel, Dustin and company. So that's it, Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Shelton.
Yeah, so being a month, there's a fair list of, of things that have occurred. I know that several of us attended the Legislative Policy Committee not once, but twice during that period of time. Mm-hmm. So that happened, and the Pumpkin Promenade was awesome. My son Jonathan loved it, although he wouldn't stay long. So found a parking spot, went through, and made a parking spot available for somebody. So it was really neat, though, and a lot of folks were there. Attended the Senior Advisory Committee, and we have a couple members from our advisory committee here tonight observing. And also the Wasatch Front Regional Council Wasatch Choice Fall Workshop, which was a good meeting, and I was really grateful to have our staff there to help make sure that we're letting the state know, letting the Wasatch Front Council know what our transportation's needs, what we expect them to be. Attended the Jordan River Executive Committee meeting, and also just this week helped do an employee review of the executive director of the Jordan River Commission. Met with a developer who just has some terrific ideas, I think, and I'll want to talk with Mayor and some of you about that. And also, I got to speak to a youth group about the very same issues, you know, our form of government and different levels of government and so forth. And they actually put their phones away. So I think that was a success, you know. So anyway, that's my report, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shelton. It's actually been 5 weeks since we've had a council meeting, and that feels like a year. It's a long time. So about 90% of what's been said here, I had the privilege of attending as well and being part of, and thank you for all that. A couple more really quickly. Really making a very deliberate effort to visit with our business owners. We want to make sure that this remains a very business-friendly city, and we are. And I met with the owner of our Chick-fil-A here. It took new ownership about a year ago, and we sat down and had a good conversation about how it's going and what's going. Anyway, so good, really good. And so I appreciated that. The Utah Transportation Conference, I had the opportunity to speak at that and to speak to a lot of transportation folks from around the state, and it was actually on land use and its intersection with transportation. And because I do a lot of that in my role at Wasatch Front Regional Council and as mayor here, they really intersect. So I had the chance to speak and represent South Jordan and what we're working on here. And also at a housing forum, there was a statewide housing forum event, and I also had the chance to speak there about what we're doing in South Jordan and the way that we're trying to plan and stay far ahead as we plan for the growth that we know will continue. I had the chance to spend a lot of time with our communications team filming videos. We're trying to boost and strengthen our economic development and our bottom line to remind people of what we have here in South Jordan, and that it matters. If you're going to go spend money, spend it here in the city, because that matters. That's how we're going to be able to help keep taxes low. If you're going other places to spend your money, it's helping to keep their residents' taxes low. So we're just trying to really make a concentrated effort. So we filmed a lot of videos. Skipping over some of the things that have been mentioned, I had the chance to host a group of Girl Scouts. We used to have a lot of scouts that came to council meeting and would come visit with us all the time. It was part of requirements. We don't have very many anymore because there aren't very many active scout troops in the area anymore. So it was fun having this group of Girl Scouts, a whole gaggle of them, and they were darling, and they were just young and eager and very bright. And so it was really fun to get to spend a whole gaggle.
Gaggle, okay.
Yeah.
It's called group.
Yeah. Okay, they're not geese, right? But anyway, they were just darling. They were so cute, these bright young ladies, and they had a billion questions, and it was really fun to spend time with the Girl Scouts. Quite a bit of time spent with the Utah League of Cities and Towns working on priorities for the cities and things that we're working on that we know are coming, topics of discussion that are being proposed as bill files for this next legislative session and the impact those may have or are intended to have in relation to cities. And also the Unified Economic Opportunity Commission for the state, same thing, working on the state's vision for the next 10 years. And I have the privilege of representing our city and all cities in Utah on that. And so this group is very involved and attuned as to what's happening in the state and the impact that decisions could have on our city. We're very engaged. And I think that is nothing but a benefit for our city. I don't want to repeat, but I really loved our Veterans Day breakfast. Yesterday, we had a meeting called our Transit Fresh Look. We have created a working group with all of the southwest part of Salt Lake County and the northwest parts of Utah County, each of those cities, and all of the stakeholders, the state partners and different agencies and organizations and businesses, Chamber of Commerce, education partners, school districts, to come together to work on a strategy that we can actually bring more transit service to our region. It is a long-range goal because it's insanely expensive, and right now, federal funding models are not written to favor growing areas. There's just not a mechanism that is written into the federal code to favor our areas. It's changed, and now fast-growing areas just don't score well for federal funding, and without federal funding, it's really hard to expand transit. So we are working very hard as a region on putting together a plan and a really deliberate decision-making plan about what modes of transit we think are going to work best on key corridors throughout our entire region. And then we're going to get to work on what it's going to take to make them happen. So we met about that yesterday. I went to Tampa, Florida for a couple of days for the National League of Cities annual conference, and I had the privilege of speaking at that conference again this year. And it's really good for my soul, actually, to gather with 4,000 local elected officials from across the United States and to get to hear what's happening in their cities and what challenges they're facing and what things they're working on, their strategies they're implementing. And I will say this every day, the challenges of staying ahead of growth and managing growth, I will take those every day over the opposite. And there are places around the country that are struggling because businesses are moving out and they're just, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. So while we grapple with growth here, it's an opportunity that I would take every day over having our community struggle and all of our good jobs move out and nobody wanting to put their businesses here and people not being able to get work and moving away and whatever. There's challenges related to both, but we're in a really good place. We couldn't be in a better place. And for that, I'm grateful. Today I got to go do something kind of fun, which is why I'm not in a suit right now. I'm in different clothes because I had another event right before this, but today I got to go present the state's Martha Hughes Cannon Award for Outstanding Impact in Local Government, and I received that award, the first award that the state's ever given for that last year, and this year I had the chance to present the award to the next award winner, and that was really fun. And finally, I had the chance to join our communications team at the Golden Spike Awards, and it's a really cool award ceremony where agencies from across the state of Utah have the opportunity to potentially be recognized, some of the finest communications teams in entities and businesses across the state for the great work they do, and I will let Rachel tell us more about that later in the staff reports, but it was an outstanding evening, and I could not be more proud of the team that we have here at South Jordan. So that's my report. Okay, let me make sure I have the right page now. Okay, next we are going to move on to our public comment period. This is the time where we want to hear from you. And if there's something you love or something you hate or something you'd like to have worked on or something that you appreciate, whatever it is, this is your opportunity to share that with us. We don't solve problems back and forth during public comment. We listen and take that information. And then if somebody needs to get back with you or whatever, we work that out. But every meeting, you know, we started out the same way by saying we're really proud of the respectful civil dialogue that we have here in South Jordan. And this chamber is a chamber of respect. And we promise that to each of you. And we ask the same in return because we all love this city. And we want to do what's right and best for it. We want to work together to figure out what that means. So everyone is entitled to take 3 minutes. We ask that when you come to the microphone, please give us your name and address for the public record. We have to keep a public record of what happens and who participates, and it's always available. So with that, I will open this public comment period. If there's anyone here in person that would like to speak to address the council, the time is now yours. You're welcome to come to the microphone.
Hello, Council, and everybody else. My name is Brian, and my address is 2329 West Tierra Rose Drive in Taylorsville, Utah, 84129. I'm here today because I am concerned and I am worried, very worried. I don't feel safe in this city, and the reasons being because this box right here represents my brother who was shot and killed by the police in this city. Shot and killed in Sky Park and Sky Drive. What really concerns me is I try to contact you guys. You specifically, Mr. Patrick Harris, we spoke on the phone. Donnie Shelton, we spoke on the phone. Both of you refused to listen to me, deflected answers, told me that I should talk to the police when I told you the police are doing an investigation on the case of my dead brother. While I'm hearing you guys talk about pumpkin patches and traveling to Tampa, my family is crying every night in bed. We are devastated. A member of our family is dead. This box right here is what his body looks like. He has been reduced to dust because of the police in the city shot him to death. He was a sick adult man, 30 years old, had schizophrenia, and was shot to death by the police in this city. I watched the fire department wash his blood off the sidewalks. My family is scarred for life. And when I tried to reach out to you guys, Jason, Kathy, Patrick, Don, Tamara, Don, when I reached out to you guys, all those I emailed never wrote me back. Those I called deflected. In fact, Donnie, you even accused me of politicizing that phone call when I was calling you, asking you for help. How dare you? I was calling you asking for help. I am stuck. I am dead inside. My brother is dead and he should be alive. This is him right here. You guys, I don't know what to do. Again, one thing that really worries me is that you guys took down your directory of your website. Your phone numbers are scrubbed. Your emails are scrubbed. Patrick, your page just goes to a 404. What's going on, you guys? No? What do I do? For those that are listening at home, for those that are in this room, what would you do if someone shot your family member? This Friday marks 5 months since he was shot and killed, since he was taken from us. We still don't have any answers. We're trying to be patient. You know, the police have to do their investigation, and we as citizens understand that. There's an investigation that has to happen. I tried telling that to you, Patrick, and you still deflected me to the police. You said you'd call me back. You didn't do it. And I want to respect my time. My time is up. Thank you for listening to me.
I also wanted to add that this Friday is his birthday. And so we're going to be crying together as a family on his birthday, not knowing what happened. And that's all we want to know is what happened so we can process and heal. Thank you.
My name is Mark Halliday. I live at 1949 West Springfield Drive. I know you don't have it on the agenda for altitude development, but I ask that if they come forward again, that notice be given out to greater than 300 feet. Reason is, we're the only home on that acreage area. That all used to be our families from 1880. That's how long we've had it. And the only other surrounding areas are commercial and or like Altered End and or the residents that are over there in the apartments to the north. I ask that notification be given to across the river. I know that's greater than 300 feet, but the river is a buffer to most of our residential people that live there in that area. Because personally to me, who else gives a damn if we don't take and look at the citizens of our good city here? And they're greater than 300 feet from our area. We are one of the largest left agricultural sections there. And I think that the people want some agricultural here. Looking at the general plan that was done some years ago, you had 12% agricultural, according to it, within the city. And I heard the good lady over here talk about bees. What have they got to live on if it isn't for agricultural? This used to be a great agricultural city. I ask that we keep some of it still today. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in person that would like to address the council? Okay, I'm going to close this public comment period then if there's no one else that would like to speak.
Is there anyone online? Or?
Only for public hearings.
Okay.
Yeah, but I am going to turn to Mr. Luce. And in light of the questions that were asked, I know there. I just want to see if you have any comment for the family.
My understanding at this point is the police side of the investigation, which was conducted by outside agency, has been finished and it's been given to the district attorney's office. The district attorney's office has had it for at least 2 months, month and a half, 2 months, and we are all waiting on them. We, as with all but one city in Salt Lake County, to my knowledge, respect the Salt Lake County DA's request that we do not release video and others of officer-involved incidents like this one. There's only one city that does release those, and it could jeopardize any investigation and prosecution, which is why the prosecutor, Mr. Gill, the district attorney, asked us not to do that. We would be happy as a city to release it. As this is a pending criminal investigation, the city council has not, to my knowledge, seen the video or been involved in any of it. And so they have very little information on it, basically the same information as the general public. And that is why they are not able to answer specific questions, not able to engage at any higher level than the general public is. That investigation is held by the investigating team, and it's a very small group of people that are able to see what is presented to the district attorney's office. We are at the point where, and obviously, Chief Carr, I don't mean to speak for the police department, but we would be happy if Mr. Gill and district attorney's office could conclude their investigation immediately and release all information. We'd be happy for everybody to see that information. And I know it's platitudes, but our hearts really do go out to your family, and we know Friday will be a very difficult day. And we hope that everything is released as soon as possible.
Thank you. I mean, we don't answer back and solve things here like this, but wanted you to know that we hear you. We literally don't know. This body does not get that information. We don't know. That is in the hands of the investigators and the district attorney's office, and we don't have access or information about any of that. For a reason, it protects everyone. It protects everyone, and we literally don't know. So those are things that we stay completely out of because it's not our purview to do so. So just wanted to make sure that you knew that. Didn't want it to sound like an excuse. It is just reality. It's just what it is. So thank you. But we do thank you for coming in, and we do wish you the best, especially on Friday. Yeah, thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to item G now. We have a proclamation that we are proud to do every year. Forgive me that I don't have that out in front of me. Item G1 is a proclamation on Lung Cancer Awareness Month, because many of us know and love people who have dealt with lung cancer, and it's something that people don't generally find until it's quite progressed. So, whereas lung cancer is the leading cause of cancer death among men and women in the United States and South Jordan, accounting for more deaths than colon cancer, breast cancer, and prostate cancer combined. Whereas according to the Centers for Disease Control, there were 1,406 new lung cancer cases between 2017 and 2021, and 812 deaths due to lung cancer between 2018 and 2022 in Salt Lake County alone. Whereas the five-year survival rate for localized lung cancer is less than 60%, yet only 24% of lung cancers are diagnosed at this stage. Whereas screening for lung cancer for high-risk individuals using low-dose computed tomography can lead to the earlier detection of lung cancer and save lives, reducing the mortality by 20% when compared to screening by chest X-ray in the National Lung Screening Trial, and reducing the risk of death at 10 years by 24% in men and 33% in women, as demonstrated by another large randomized trial. Whereas funding for lung cancer research trails far behind funding for research of many other cancers, and additional research is needed in early diagnosis, screening, and treatment for lung cancer, as well as lung cancer affecting women and lung cancer health disparities. Whereas lung cancer incidence is decreasing twice as fast in men as it is in women, each year more women die from lung cancer than breast cancer, and by 2035, more women will die from lung cancer than men. Whereas African Americans have the highest lung cancer incidence and mortality of all races, and disparities in lung cancer screenings, diagnosis, treatment, and mortality are well characterized among African Americans and other racial minorities. Whereas lung cancer in individuals who never smoked is the seventh leading cause of cancer-related deaths and account for 17,000 to 26,000 deaths in the United States every year. 60 to 70% of individuals diagnosed with lung cancer who never smoked are women, and the proportion of lung cancer diagnosed in people who never smoked is increasing in the U.S. Whereas radon is the leading cause of lung cancer among individuals who never smoked and the second leading cause of lung cancer overall. Whereas the stigma surrounding lung cancer creates barriers to early diagnosis, treatment, and funding for research, has detrimental impact on the quality of life of people diagnosed with lung cancer, and hinders awareness of and research into lung cancer risk factors than other than smoking. Whereas lung cancer research is leading to breakthroughs in the identification of genetic alterations associated with lung cancer and the development of lung cancer treatments, including immunotherapies and targeted therapies. And whereas organizations working in South Jordan, such as the American Lung Cancer Screening Initiative and the Women's Lung Cancer Forum, are committed to educating about lung cancer and lung cancer screening and working to increase lung cancer screening rates in South Jordan. Therefore, I, Mayor Don R. Ramsey, hereby proclaim the November 2024 as Lung Cancer Awareness Month in South Jordan, and recognize the need for research in lung cancer affecting women and lung cancer health disparities, and encourage all citizens to learn about lung cancer and early detection through lung cancer screening. Two of those statistics listed were some of my favorite people on earth. And they never smoked. So, yeah. There's a lot of people in this room who are affected by lung cancer. I know that. All right. We have item G2. We have another presentation. It's another proclamation. This one's shorter. Another proclamation for Small Business Saturday 2024. They're all worded a little bit differently, so I like the end of this one better because it says we're all proclaiming it. Whereas the city of South Jordan, Utah celebrates our local small businesses and the contributions they make to our local economy and community. And whereas according to the United States Small Business Administration, there are 34.7 million small businesses in the United States. Small businesses represent 99.7% of firms with paid employees. Small businesses are responsible for 61.1% of net new jobs created since 1995. And small businesses employ 45.9% of the employees in the private sector in the United States. And whereas 68 cents of every dollar spent at a small business in the U.S. stays in the local community, and every dollar spent at small businesses creates an additional 48 cents in local business activity as a result of employees and local businesses purchasing local goods and services. And whereas 59% of U.S. consumers aware of Small Business Saturday shop or ate at a small, independently owned retailer or restaurant on Small Business Saturday 2023. And whereas South Jordan City, Utah supports our local businesses that create jobs, boost our local economy, and preserve our community. And whereas advocacy groups as well as public and private organizations across the country have endorsed the Saturday after Thanksgiving as Small Business Saturday. Now therefore, the South Jordan City Council does hereby proclaim November 30th, 2024 as Small Business Saturday, and urge the residents of our community and communities across the country to support small businesses and merchants on Small Business Saturday, celebrating its 15th year in 2024, and to shop small throughout the year. We have several small business owners in our midst as well, quite a few. So, shop local, Small Business Saturday. All right, we have item H. On our agenda, we have a public hearing item. H1 is Ordinance 2024-24, amending Section 16.30.040, the Outdoor Landscaping Standards of South Jordan City Municipal Code, to prohibit lawn outside of active recreation areas in all commercial, industrial, and multifamily development common area landscapes. We are going to turn to our Director of Planning, Mr. Stephen Schaefermeyer, to present this.
Thank you, Mayor. In 2021, the city adopted new landscaping standards with the goal of reducing the per capita water use in the city. These are standards that were based off of Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District's adopted standards. It's connected to their localscapes program. Since that time, we have continued to inspect and encourage water conservation in the city. This proposal is an effort to continue that reduction in water use in the city, and is a request from Jordan Valley as we consider future water needs, particularly in the annexed Kennecott property. the proposal before you, and I gave you the staff report and ordinance, the ordinance itself, Exhibit A, has the entire water-wise landscaping requirements that are broadly applicable to all uses. In the individual uses, there's a few more details. So if you go to the residential chapter, there's a few more details. But if you have broader questions about the ordinance, we can talk about that. But on the first page of the staff report, it prohibits lawn in commercial, industrial, institutional, and multifamily development outside of active recreation areas. An active recreation area is defined as areas of the landscape dedicated to active play where lawn may be used as the playing surface, examples being sports fields, play areas. When a commercial, industrial, institutional, or multifamily development comes in, they're required to do a site plan. As part of that site plan, and this is different than single family, as part of that site plan, they are required to submit a landscape plan. And so we have 2 points to check the enforcement of this. One is at that plan stage, our planners review the landscaping to make sure it complies. And then once it's put in during the building phase, we have a planning inspector that goes out and makes sure that what was on the plan is being installed. We've seen a trend over the past few years of even less grass than is required by the code. And so in terms of a impact on businesses, we don't think that this is a big impact on businesses, but could have a decent impact on water use to continue to encourage strategic use of lawn. So in, say, a corporate campus setting, for example, if there was an area that the commercial business wanted to have some lawn for active recreation, they could still have that. We just don't want it in, and Jordan Valley even more specifically doesn't want it in park strips and other areas where watering it is very inefficient. Same would be true of, say, a preschool or something similar. They can still have a grassy area for children to play, but it shouldn't be used for ornamental purposes. So happy to answer questions. Hopefully that's clear. Happy to answer questions after the public hearing.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, we're now going to open the public hearing on Ordinance 2024-24, amending Section 16.30.040, Outdoor Landscaping Standards of South Jordan City Municipal Code to prohibit lawn outside of active recreation areas in all commercial, industrial, and multifamily development common area landscapes. It's the same principles that applied during our public comment period. Same role, it's just a public hearing specific to this. If there's anyone here in person that would like to speak to this, the time is now yours. Okay, seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak to this item? Bob, I'm gonna ask you to turn on your camera for us.
I'm not sure that I know how to do the camera thing. Bob Paxton, 1073 West, 10250 South, here in South Jordan. I guess the question I have is, if we are not putting in grass, is it going to be a soft surface so the water can continue to percolate into the ground and help our aquifers, or are we talking about concrete, asphalt, pavers, those sorts of things? That's it.
Thank you, Bob. We always appreciate you, and thank you so much. Is there anyone else online that would like to speak? If so, please give us a wave. All right, I'm not seeing any. Okay, we will now close the public hearing and turn to the council and see if any of you have any questions for Mr. Schaefermeyer. Would you address the question?
Sure.
Yes. Mr. Paxton asked?
Yeah. So like I said, in addition to the standards that are before you in each of those uses, there's a minimum amount of landscape area. Traditionally, back before we adopted this ordinance, you could have live plant material that included everything from lawns to bushes to whatever. Now we're just specifying what materials go in those landscape areas. So this does not reduce the landscape area requirements that are attached to each of those development types. It simply says you can't put lawn in. And again, the reason for that is watering different types of plant material is more efficient than overhead spray heads that are required for lawn. Also gives more opportunity for lower water plants that require less water. And specifically in B5, so we're in 1630.040B5, it requires that at least 50% of that landscape area be covered at maturity. Otherwise, we're having gravel and mulch and other materials that are permeable in those landscape areas.
Thank you for that. Yes, go ahead.
So that's the answer to Mr. Paxton's question.
That yes.
Would be permeable, water could absorb, get down into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
When we see this word, gathering areas shall be constructed of hardscape. Exhibit A, letter B, as boy. Would you define hardscape? Is that what you just stated, basically?
Like, yeah, I would say hardscape is non-permeable.
Oh, non-permeable.
Yeah, not permeable. Yeah.
Concrete. So like pavers? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, depending on the type of pavers, there's some permeability there. One of the challenges we had initially, and it was a conversation that we had with Jordan Valley, is they are taking design principles and saying, city, put this into the regulatory box. So if you go to the local scapes, and we actually have information on our website that translates what Jordan Valley has come up with local scapes to this ordinance to try to help people understand kind of what this means, it makes a bit more sense, I guess is what I'm saying. Their point is to be more comprehensive about when you plan an area, think about how you're going to use it, rather than what we've done in the past, which is just do wall-to-wall grass. So if you go to the local scapes program, that gathering place is part of the principles. And it's a subset of the entire yard area, not necessarily removing that from the landscaping requirements, if that makes sense, which maybe it doesn't.
I could ask a couple
of questions. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so just for the clarity for the residents that might be listening or, mm-hmm. or members of our city, any existing homes in our community are fine to stay as they are. This is talking new development.
Yeah.
So if I live in a quarter acre lot here in South Jordan and I want to re-landscape my yard, do any of these requirements apply to me?
They would. At the applicability section at the very beginning of the ordinance says this applies to all new and rehabilitated landscaping. In the single, and again, we're talking commercial for this ordinance, single family is a little bit different. This doesn't apply to backyards because we're not peeking over fences. We don't require permits if you want to re-landscape. So really, where that would come up, and it has come up, is through complaints and code enforcement to go out and work with homeowners to help them try to understand what the rules are as they're tearing out and rehabilitating their landscaping. Whereas an institutional, commercial, the permit is required up front so that we can review what it is they're doing. So the single family context is a little bit different.
Sure, thank you for that correction. I think generally speaking, my opinion is South Jordan City wants to be water conscious,
mm-hmm.
try to be water conscious. I think in other years we've showed a great effort to be conscious of water. This decision that we have, well, here's my second question. The water district has told us we need to comply with this in order to be able to bring on the annexed land. What if we were to not comply with this? What would happen?
So it's the amount of water required for the annexed land, and Jason has a better perspective on exactly where this is coming from in those negotiations.
Yeah, so in working with Rio Tinto in Jordan Valley, excuse me, Jordan Valley is offering so much water. They provided two options to provide more water for that annexed land. One of the options was to change this code for commercial landscapes. We looked at this internally and discussed it and said, this makes sense. It helps in our overall water conservation goals, and it will have minimal impact on new development. So this was one we felt like we could support as a city, and thus the reason for the recommendation why we're here tonight, and it will afford some additional water to the annexed lands.
And you know, when Jason brought this to me, my response was, I think businesses are already doing it. And so, because before, under our current language, they can have, let's see, where did it go? They can have up to 20% of their landscape area be grass. And now we're saying no grass unless in an active recreation area. And for most commercial businesses, that makes sense in terms of most of, you know, a smaller site isn't going to have need for a recreational area. We were looking at multifamily, preschools, those types of uses that we would imagine there would need to be some area, and this doesn't prohibit them from having a grassy area that makes sense.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? No? Any question?
Well, it also doesn't preclude them from having like a soft turf or something either in those playground areas.
An artificial turf? Mm-hmm. The artificial turf, though, we would treat like non-permeable surfaces. So that turf couldn't count towards their landscaping requirement. There are other options under our code. So specifically in the residential section, you can have artificial turf that, again, it gets a little complicated. If you can have artificial turf as part of your landscaping, as long as you still meet that 50% requirement of other landscaping. We had a resident that, I don't know if it was a code enforcement case or a complaint, but when we took a look at their yard, they had artificial turf. So you take that out of the landscape requirement, but they still had enough other landscaping on their property to be able to be okay. If you want more than that, then you come to the Planning Commission for a conditional use permit. So we can look at the effects of runoff and quality of artificial turf, which is actually our bigger concern. It's how it looks over time.
Yeah, I've seen one neighborhood one neighbor who has like repainted their artificial turf. It's gonna be interesting right. to see how that works out.
Right.
Well, and there's different qualities of artificial
Exactly.
turf. Yeah. If I could ask
Yes, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm curious. Obviously, we have this large annex portion of land coming into our city. For that reason, we're kind of being stretched to mm-hmm. find ways
yeah.
through water conservation. Are other areas in our county, in this district, also being asked to adhere to these recommendations? Yeah. Or is it just South Jordan City?
Yes, yeah, so the delineator for this is any lands that were outside of Jordan Valley's service area prior to, I can't remember if it was 2019 or 2021, and it may have been even a year after that, but they drew a line in the sand that said any areas that are outside Jordan Valley's service area will have to be annexed in, and they're under this, where there's a supply limitation. And that's on account of Jordan Valley doing long-term water supply forecasting and knowing what they can provide to additional lands that they hadn't planned on before.
So the same process, projection, effort to conserve water is being done?
Correct. So there's a large development to the south and west of us and by someone we all know. And they're under the same water supply restrictions. Yep.
And they're... And they're provided options if they want more water, what they need to do or what the city needs to do. This ordinance, the water efficiency ordinance as it exists before this amendment, other cities have also adopted that are within the service district.
All 17 mm-hmm. Cities in the service district have adopted these standards.
Good.
Because the stick was, or your water rates.
It took 2 years to get there, but we were the second one because Harriman had their meeting right before us, 6 days before ours. Mm-hmm. So we were the second city to adopt the water efficiency standards in this meeting.
Good.
And now every city in the district has. And so, yes, now those of us who have additional areas coming online that we're like, well, this is coming into our city and we still need water, if it's not part of the Jordan Valley district boundary currently, even if it's coming into South Jordan or into Harriman or into Draper or into whatever, this is a compromise to try to come up with the water mm-hmm. to make sure there's enough water.
Good. I'm glad we're all participating.
Thank you, Mayor.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Okay. I'm now going to ask if there is a motion on Ordinance 2024-24, amending Section 16.30.040, Outdoor Landscaping Standards of South Jordan City Municipal Code to prohibit lawn outside of active recreation areas in all commercial, industrial, and multifamily development common area landscapes.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve Ordinance 2024-24.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. McGuire. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mrs. Johnson. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, Mrs. Crookston, would you please lead the council in a roll call vote?
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
And Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Okay, that passes unanimously. And again, just to be clear, this is not any functional turf areas. What we're trying to eliminate is the way we used to all maybe put in yards and there was plenty of grass that we didn't even walk on except to mow it. This is to cut back on that and to be more water wise, because I think we're all more astutely aware that we are very much in a desert and we're going to have to kind of rethink how we put in new landscape going forward. So thank you. Now our amended agenda has I as an action item. I1 is resolution R2024-46, a resolution of the City Council of the City of South Jordan, Utah, providing notice of a pending land use ordinance to amend the flaglot overlay zone of the South Jordan Municipal Code 17.130.060. We are going to turn to our city attorney, Mr. Ryan Luce, to present on this.
Mayor and Council, good evening. As you know, we've recently had an application before you. That item is tabled regarding a flaglot overlay zone. We have flaglot rules within our current zoning. Then we have a zone we can overlay that kind of allows more ability to do flaglots. The issue we're finding with that is we have one current before you and two that are vested on their way is we didn't anticipate certain things like ADUs, which several years ago were not as big of a thing as they are now. Some of the size requirements and things that are coming up as issues. In talking about it as staff and then looking at what issues and questions are being presented to you that the public has and that you have, we thought about what we could do to better that ordinance and to hold or not allow to vest new applications until we can get before you some ideas to make a better ordinance. And that is where 10-9A509 and the subsections, which you can see in the resolution. I placed a number of copies of the resolution in the back if anybody would like to read them from the public. Allows us without, you know, any formal procedure, just the way we initiate a change of our ordinance to tell the public that we're looking at changing our ordinance. What we call that is a notice of pending ordinance. The way we initiate that change is if you pass this resolution tomorrow, we will file an application on behalf of the city and City View to change 17.030.60 of the city code. And in that application, we'll address the things listed here in the ordinance dealing with we'll be looking at dealing with ADUs, the size of the flag lots in relation to the size of the previous lot. We're noticing that a lot of times they're carving off a bigger lot in back than the one in front, that the homes are bigger in back, and that creates neighborhood challenges when you have a big two-story home and then a small one-story rambler, the massing, the setbacks, and things of that nature. All things you've heard as concerned residents have brought these to you. And so with that, this ordinance or this resolution will allow us to file that application and pause the vesting of any application for the flaglot overlay zone for the next 6 months, up to the next 6 months or until you adopt new rules. If you don't adopt new rules, then if someone filed an application, let's say in 2 weeks, we would give them a copy of this resolution, let them know we're considering changes. If you don't make the changes, then their application is deemed vested on the day they did it. So even if you change it 6 months and 2 days from now, they're vested in the rules as of the day they applied. So it just kind of allows us to toll the vesting, allows us to tell them that we're looking at the changes, involve them in the conversation. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions for Mr. Luce?
I'm curious if you have any thoughts about how long roughly it will be before we have an ordinance before us to consider.
I love making promise on Mr. Schaefermeyer's behalf. I'd say like a week, three days. He's not real busy.
I mean, so your meeting next, your next meeting, the Whedon Acres flag lot will be coming back to you. In fact, I have a copy of letters from that applicant stating their position on ADUs, and as well as some other things. So I'm going to wait to really dive into this until I see what that discussion is like. And maybe during that discussion, you can formulate some ideas. I think it depends on how much you want me to look into. So if there's a lot that we need to look at, then it could take a little bit longer. Good news is Monday I have a long-range planner starting, finally. So I have a long, long list of things I'm going to give him. He's well qualified, and this will be towards the top of it. So I'm hoping by early spring, so February, March, to get something at least to the Planning Commission, if not to you as the City Council, because we do need to have the discussion with the Planning Commission as well. They experienced the last public hearing, and one of the requests was, is there any direction that we can get on this? Because it's kind of, all of these being their own negotiations is gonna eat up a lot of time, both at a staff level, at a Planning Commission level, and ultimately with City Council. If you consider how much time we take on larger development agreements, even a one lot development agreement takes a lot of back and forth. So any kind of guardrails that we can come up with would be helpful.
And when you think of meeting times involved in that, and looking at, you know, if they go out and get any comment from those applying or look at those situations, I think February is a pretty safe time. Because we'll have two meetings in January of the Planning Commission, City Council, and I mean, it's just the meeting thing.
Go ahead. So would this pause us from discussing other flag lots?
No, so
have the one before us next time.
So there's two different situations. The administrative flag lots that come in as regular zoning will keep happening. They'll keep just going through staff. You don't see them. There's no legislative decision to be made. My recollections, they don't even go to Planning Commission.
They do go to.
Oh, they do for the, yeah.
For the subdivision.
For the subdivision. And so the subdivision goes to Planning Commission. But they're very defined rules for them. And so they will go forward. Any application that under 170303060, the flag lot overlay, they will continue to go through. There's one that you're going to be considering next meeting that you tabled, and then there's two more, is my understanding from Mr. Schaefermeyer, that are vested.
One more.
Oh, sorry. One more. The other
that
one
was incorrect.
Best.
They okay. Didn't actually apply
so,
yet.
So there's two that you will see in this meantime, and we know there's at least one or two more that are considering it but have not vested an application. That would be subject to the new rules should you adopt them in the next 6 months.
And what we saw with other strategies, including flag lots to subdivide individual lots into two or three, is once there's someone who's figured it out, they continue to look through the city for other opportunities to do that. And so we anticipate that it kind of grows. And so we just want to be prepared for that.
Yeah, one unintended consequence of this zone, which was adopted in part to kind of have more oversight at a legislative level for the occasional one, like the family that you did this for, that had made this plan and got ready to move and the timing didn't work out and we had changed the other zone and we thought we'll make it legislative. Well, now what is happening is if you assemble land, you cannot assemble a whole neighborhood and redevelop a whole neighborhood of 1.5-2 acre lots. You can get one or two of these and do a small, essentially subdivision, even though they're flag lots. And then with the advent of ADUs, you could buy two properties right next to each other, do two flag lots, and you've changed it from basically one unit on a 2 acre parcel to essentially 8 legal units by getting that 2 acre and splitting it and doing these ADUs. And so it can get complicated. Well, it's from 2 units to 8 units, but you can quadruple with ADUs what is allowed. And so we have some thoughts and strategies on how to address that once we get your input and your feedback through the discussion coming up, and we may have to schedule another work session to see how you feel about where we're going.
Thank you. Anyone have any other questions?
Just a comment, just like when we get together to discuss that, I'm really interested in seeing how other cities are addressing it.
Will do. We'll get that information for you.
Okay.
All right, I will ask if there is a motion on resolution R-2024-46, resolution of the City Council of the City of South Jordan, Utah, providing notice of a pending land use ordinance to amend the flag lot overlay zone of the South Jordan Municipal Code 17.130.060. Is there a motion or is there not a motion?
Mayor, I'd like to move that we approve the resolution of the City Council of the City of South Jordan to provide notice of the pending land use amendment or ordinance to amend the flag lot overlay zone.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion by Mrs. Johnson. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. With a second by Mr. Shelton. Any additional discussion? Okay, seeing none, Mrs. Crookston, would you please lead us in a roll call vote?
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
And Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
All right, that resolution passes. All right, item J, staff reports and calendaring items. We will turn to our city manager, Mr. Lewis, and see if you have anything for us.
Just a couple of quick things for you tonight, Mayor and Council. The first is, I know you've all been working on your annual statements and quotes for the upcoming annual report. You should have the latest edits back from our communications team in your inboxes so that you can review those and see if there are any additional changes or edits that you want to make so that they can get those ready for print. So if you haven't noticed those in your inbox, please look for those. They were sent to you earlier. I would also like to give Rachel a little bit of time to tell you about the Golden Spike Awards, which our city recently attended, and how we fared. So, Rachel, if you want to come up, tell us about that.
We got another one this year.
So, we entered into five categories, and I believe I gave you an update saying that we were finalists in all five. There's kind of two different sections between campaigns and tactics. And within the campaign category, we entered for Pier Sojo and for Barbie Land. And we've won, of all things, for our crisis communication for Barbie Land. So that was the award we got this year, which kind of tickled me because we did a lot of really great work for Pier Sojo, and I worked really hard on those entries, but Barbie Land. So basically, what's kind of a progression we did this year for it is in the campaign categories, one of my goals is to get best in show. We did not get that this year. However, this campaign winning this category put us on we were the finalist of the top three of the campaigns in the whole thing, which means we were very close. So I feel like next year we'll get best in show, which is the highest scoring campaign out of the whole state. So fingers crossed for next year, but go Barbie Land. See, Chief, we got something out of it.
Yeah. Best crisis communications in the state. That's no small thing. Awesome.
Didn't know Barbie Land was a crisis.
As most of you are aware, we have another one of our favorite activities coming up with Light the Night, and I've asked Director Payne just to give you a kind of a quick overview and brief of that so that you'll know what your level of participation is with us that night. So, Director Payne.
Yeah, thank you for your support of our events and activities. Light the Night is another big one coming up for us. We have, obviously, the lighting of the tree and the lights on Town Center. A gingerbread house contest awards will be that night. We have Santa. We have our holiday beard contest, which we're really getting the word out this year. So I know you have one going, Councilman McGuire. You should enter.
Not for much longer.
Oh, no. All right. We have our gnome hunt, our winter market, our cookies and cocoa and holiday glasses at different spots, story time with Mrs. Claus. This year we have Eric Dowdle coming to do meet and greets and signing South Jordan puzzles. One thing I wanted to note too, if you guys are willing to support and kind of administer our countdown at 6 o'clock, that would be great. Same as previous years, if you could meet in the Balsam room outside of Dustin's office at about 5:45, that's when we'll get you all together, give you a little run of show information, answer questions, give you your pins to hand out, and get you to the stage on time for the countdown. One other thing I wanted to note is Tiffany Parker, our arts coordinator, will have information for those that would like to help judging the gingerbread contest the night of the next council meeting. So December 3rd, we're getting all of our entries into City Hall in time for the end of the day. So if you have time after council meeting and would like to knock that out too and not have to make multiple trips back, then that's an opportunity. We'll have the judging forms for you there too. There's any questions about it, let me know.
You should recruit him for your beard contest, right?
We've already talked about it.
Okay, all right. He's a good candidate.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Those are all the items that I had for you this evening.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, appreciate it. Okay, before I ask for a motion to adjourn, I wanna thank everybody in here for all of your great work and the service you give. I wanna give a special thank you to our first responders. Thank you. Please tell your teams, thank you. Everyone in here is doing a lot of great work, a lot of important work, and a lot of heavy lifting. But there's been a lot, and just thank you. Please pass along our gratitude. And I would also like to invite the council to consider attending the National League of Cities Conference next November, when it's held here in Salt Lake City. It was supposed to be held in Salt Lake City the year I was president of the league, and all of those commitments had to be made a year in advance of that, and it was still COVID-ish, and so nobody knew what was gonna happen, so they just canceled it for that year. It's the only time in 100 years that it's been canceled. Anyway, and the next few were already scheduled. So it's coming back in 2025, the National League of Cities Conference will be here.
Count me in.
So, I mean, you should consider it. I know it's Salt Lake City has a heavy lift to put that together, and I was talking to some members of their council, and Council Chair Petro told me today that their person kind of overseeing that is feeling completely overwhelmed and said, I don't know how we're going to get this done. And she said, not to worry. Mayor Ramsey's offered to help. Mayor Shepard's offered to help. So there's opportunities. If anybody wants to get involved in helping put that together, we'll be hosting 4,000 local elected officials from across the country and vendors everywhere and lots of people. It'll be a big boost and an opportunity to really showcase, because it's being held in Salt Lake City, but the light will shine on our entire area, and what's happening here will not be unnoticed. So we'll have the chance to really kind of demonstrate that. November of 25. So a year from now, but you know, we'll have the good fortune of being able to stay in our houses, and that'll be okay.
No flight.
So anyway, just wanted to kind of plant that seed if you're interested. Mm-hmm. And with that, I will ask if there's a motion to adjourn.
So Mayor, moved. And just as a reminder, we to go back into our other meeting.
Yep.
I'll move to adjourn, Mayor.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, we are adjourned, and we are going to move back into our work meeting.